welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
And inside the Uso Penitentiary, let me tell you something. It ain't gonna be no booty-os.
Nah.
It ain't gonna be no rainbows.
Nah.
It ain't gonna be no sunshine.
Nah.
No twerking.
Nah.
No trombones.
Nah.
None of that.
Nah.
Hey, Uso, check this out. Hell in a Cell is very, 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 very similar to what the Uso Penitentiary is like.
How, Uso?
Well, see, dog, we're gonna drag New Day right down this aisle right here.
That's a dead man walking.
We're gonna bring him up right to this hell right here.
Got him shivering and shaking.
We're gonna open up that cell door.
I'ma throw their ass in there.
No, check this out. I got a better one. How about we throw every single tag team inside that cell? Slam the door.
Bam!
What's that sound?
That's the sound of the tag division on lock.
Let's lock the door and throw away the key now. Shum, doobie dum, doobie dum, dum. I can't wait to kiss you.
So have you heard that WWE's plans are for Bray Wyatt to be Sister Abigail? Have you read any of this?
Oh my God.
So
wait, time out. Are you... You gotta be ripping me.
I'm dead. I wish I was playing. I'm dead ass serious. Like this is not Hayes trying to troll you. This isn't any of it. So reported by Pro Wrestling Sheet is that right now the plan is for Bray Wyatt to debut at TLC as Sister Abigail. That he will have a different outfit, and a different persona, but that he will be Sister Abigail. And they compare the article goes on to compare it, that they're going to handle it like they do Finn Balor and the Demon. It's going to be completely separate character.
With that big ass beard, what are they going to do? They're going to pull a big beard off and just have him be in a fucking dress? What are they thinking? How? That's no way to do that at all. What?
That's exactly what I figured your reaction was going to be. Like, I read that and I just looked for a minute and I'm like, look, there's no way this is real. This just, it can't be real. But no, apparently it is. Apparently Bray Wyatt is going to be Sister Abigail. D-Will, I think back around the time this podcast first started, we started reviewing SmackDown separately. We talked about what it would be like to have Sister Abigail as an actual character. It looks like we're going to find out, and Bray Wyatt is going to play Sister Abigail. I'm sorry. I know that this is this is real. Like, this, what year are we living in?
I guess we can't assume his gender. I guess that's what that is. Oh my God. I'm just okay. They want some ratings. That's gonna make me tune in because I want to see what kind of shit they are gonna. It's gonna be a train wreck. It's gonna be a disaster. I don't know how they plan on getting away with it.
But you know what,
Bray Wyatt.
Since we say that, watch them pull this off without a fucking hitch. Like, I'm dead serious. Watch, because we're sitting here and we're talking shit about it and we both just laughed out loud just at the thought of it. Watch them do this and it's like the creepiest thing that we've seen on TV. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, watch. I'm just telling you, like, when this happens, WWE does this. Like, we'll read shit like this, you know, be sound stupid, but watch them pull this shit off. I don't know what to say. Either we're going to love it or I'm going to die from laughing at TLC when he comes out as Sister Abigail.
I'm just going to be shaking my head, just wondering why and how. Like, how did professional wrestling get to this point? Like, what happened? What happened? And how can I go back and stop it? Wow, that's breaking news. If you got a breaking news do signal, you play that at the beginning of the show, because that's just wow. Oh my gosh.
So yeah,
not even I you know how I am, not even I would do some shit like that.
Oh man, I just put a link to the article in our chat, so definitely check that out after we get done podcasting. So yeah, that was in lieu of an actual pre-show banter for today. Are you ready to get into the blue zone?
I guess so. See, I mean, how do we follow that? But I'm gonna try.
Welcome to SmackDown Live.
So this is where the big boys play, huh?
This is my show. My show.
Whoa.
Hey, it's me.
It's Misery.
But I'm a genetic freak, and I'm not normal.
I am CEO Hayes.
This is my yard now.
Let's go ahead and get into this Blue Zone.
I am the elite. I am the greatest. I am the phenomenal.
Wrestling World Podcast Network. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the world famous Blue Zone. You got CEO Hayes here. D. Will Misery Williams is in the building as well. Now, Misery, well, go ahead and tell the people hello, and then I'll go ahead and get into what I was going to say.
Hi.
we finally made contact with JB. He is amongst the living. He did not get kidnapped and become Sister Abigail like that. Let's just go ahead and make JB Sister Abigail. But nonetheless, he's not here in the Blue Zone tonight. He disappeared yet again. That bastard.
He's just, you know what? Make him Sister Abigail. Fucking make my cat Sister Abigail. Fucking anybody other than Bray Wyatt. Oh my God, I just can't get over that. I just can't get over
that. Well, to get back into SmackDown Live, we start off with Renee Young welcoming Shinsuke Nakamura to the ring. And, you know, before this, we got a pretty all right video package. It wasn't the best the WWE's done, but it was okay. It kind of set the mood. We get the Singh brothers coming out, introducing Jinder Mahal, and then Jinder attacks Shinsuke from behind. We end up with Mahal laying out Nakamura. I don't know what to say about this. I don't know, D. Will. Like, I don't know what to say about this whole feud, this whole program. But what did you think about this opening SmackDown? And is there any way that Shinsuke wins this title at Hell in a Cell?
I'm embarrassed for everybody involved in this segment, from Renee to Mahal to the little brothers. It's just, why do they keep trying to have Nakamura talk? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but bones won't be my sticks. He can't speak English. Okay, get the microphone away from him. Oh my God, CEO, you got me hot. I'm all red. I'm sweating. This fan ain't doing it for me. I'm so sick to the WWE and their bullshit right now. Mahal, he'd look like shit. The Singh brothers look like shit. Renee Young, I never liked her. She shit to me. Fuck this segment.
Well, damn, thank you for letting us know how you feel on that, D. Well, I guess that is kind of the point of our good old podcast here, but yeah, it's Shinsuke, and I hate saying this because the guy is special, the guy's great in the ring, but they have to do something bigger with him. And I understand that they wanted Mahal to be the champion, and I actually applauded them for having Mahal win the title, but this shit has gone on too long. They're kind of ruining the luster on one of the best wrestlers of a generation in Nakamura, in my opinion. But maybe this is where they want us to be. Maybe Nakamura is going to come out looking strong and just dominate and take this title when they wanted. You know, sometimes you have to lower expectations. You have to feed the people shit. That way, when you give them SpaghettiOs, they think it's the best fucking thing in the world. Maybe that's what's happening here. I don't know. but yeah, I just hope for better. I hope for better. And you hear that, you know, WWE just made a deal in India. They're actually going to tour there, I believe, in December. So there's a chance we may get this until the end of the year, D. Will. The end of the fucking year. I don't know how long he's had this title, but I know it's been the majority of the summer. So we may go through all of winter with the Jinder Mahal as our WWE champion.
He's not the problem, though. It's how they write him. He's not the problem at all whatsoever. He could be the top guy on the show. It's just the writing's just been terrible. Let me ask you, CEO, do you think Nakamura's walking away with the title this Sunday? Because I just can't for the life of me see it.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm of two minds. Part of me thinks that they may have announced this deal or this tour in India, maybe just so we expect it. But I mean, they did announce that Jinder will be on the tour, so you have to think that even if he does lose this title, he's probably still going to be feuding for it through then. I'm guessing. I just don't know, man. I don't know what this company is doing, And I get it. This is the time. Football just started back not too long ago. Basketball is about to start back. This is where we usually get shit wrestling. But, you know, the road to WrestleMania starts in just a few months here. I mean, we're only about three months out until that build really starts. I guess it doesn't start till after the Royal Rumble. But, yeah, the road to Mania is quickly approaching. I just hope for better, man. I really just hope for better. And I will tell you, as much as I love wrestling, I just don't know how much more of this shit I can take, man.
I'm with you there, 100%. And, you know, even if they do put the title on Nakamura, God forbid, is anybody even going to really care?
Seriously,
is anybody going to give a, especially with the other contests they got going on at Hell in a Cell, and not even that, just a feud in general, Nakamura wins the belt, oh, yay, who cares? Like, really, is anybody going to, like, care at all?
The marks will, the super marks, the ones that are familiar with him outside of WWE, will absolutely care. The pro wrestling magazines will care. The dirt sheets will care. But the casual, that's the thing with WWE, you have to capture that casual audience. And this is I may be out of touch. I don't know how well the casual audience feels about Nakamura outside of his entrance. And, you know, me and you've had these discussions before. I still stand by that Nakamura can be a big star here in WWE if done right. But the writing here, man, it's the writing in this company. I don't know, D. Well, we need to get you and Bello on Raw and SmackDown, respectively, to just go ahead and take over. Maybe we need to kidnap Road Dogg, throw him in the back seat of a Ford Pinto and just like drive him off the Golden State Bridge.
I'll do SmackDown. Bello can have Raw because I don't want to have to deal with the Cruiserweights.
He has Adam for that. But let's move on. And I also do think it's telling that the world fucking title is on the opening of the show, and that's it. Like, come on, man. That's not what the world title is supposed to be about. I'm happy to see AJ with the U.S. title and everything he's doing there, but I kind of want to see both titles lifted up and not the U.S. title only lifted up, because right now they're not doing shit really with the WWE title. But to move on to the women, we get Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch versus Natalya and Carmella. That's not right. Yes, it is. Natalya and Carmella. I was reading my notes wrong. Ignore me there. But we get these four women in a tag team match. How'd you feel about this match, D-Will? Before I get into my thoughts, what were your thoughts on this match and the finish specifically?
Could care less. that's gonna be the theme of this episode. I'm sorry, CEO, because they put little to no effort into this episode. But I will say this: I was surprised that they had Charlotte tap out to the sharpshooter. You know, typically that makes you think that since they Natalya went over here, Charlotte will win at Hell in a Cell. But I still don't see that happen. I still think somehow, someone Natalya is going to retain her belts. But yeah, I'm kind of surprised that they had Charlotte tap out. That was weird to me. I think that may not be the first time she's tapped out, but still very weird.
Yeah, she's tapped out to Sasha Banks before, but yeah, it was weird to have it done in a tag team. But you would think that would be given to something, I don't know, a match of a higher profile just to happen on a second. No, this is actually the first match on the episode of SmackDown. So that is a little shocking there. What I will say is that I'm surprisingly enjoying Natalya as the champion. I'm not, and that's not to say that the writing is not been done right. I'm just talking about her, the way she's carried herself, the way she's delivered some of the shit lines. You know, we talk about how awkward she can be. Natalya as the champion, I don't hate as much as I thought I was going to.
She's just unbelievable to me. She's you can tell she's just not a bad guy at heart. She's a cat. She's the cat lady. You can't boo a cat lady.
I don't know what you're talking about. I boo the cat lady in my neighborhood all the time. I just walk by her house and I literally just boo her. But no, I mean, this match was a perfectly fine match. I mean, just for what it was, like if someone would have told you this would have been the first match of any episode of SmackDown, I would have been like, okay, yeah, it seems like it fits in there. I have issues with the writing in the women's division and SmackDown overall. I just feel like they really don't know what they want to do. Like I think ultimately they want to get to Charlotte winning the title possibly turning heel. I hope that it's Becky Lynch that turns heel, honestly, this time, rather than Charlotte Flair. Now that we have her as a face, let her be a face for a while, just to prove she can do it for the next year. Like, she had, what, a year or two reign as the biggest women's heel on Raw. Let her flip that on SmackDown and be a face for a while. Have Becky Lynch turn heel. We haven't seen Becky as a heel. So it's things is they have talent here. There's a lot of things that they can do. And was she a heel in NXT?
Yeah, Becky.
Yeah. But so I mean she can do it. I honestly think Becky can do whatever they want her to do. I think she's a lot more versatile than what a lot of people think. And we still got Carmella with the briefcase. So there's a lot going on that can go on here in this women's division. I think that they have everybody positioned in an all right place. It's just the execution and the writing. And, you know, you said that the theme of this is going to be you could care less. I mean, the theme for me is that just write better. Like, just write better. And I know I'm not a writer. I'm probably oversimplifying it. But God damn, like, this is just it. I swear it's like they let Shane McMahon's son take over the writer room for a while. He could probably come up with something better than this, though.
I went on the same rant last week when I was here with Redneck. Just do better. Just like, it's just unacceptable. You're literally, it's like they're trying to do bad television. Because even if you were just going off the top of your head, you could come up with something better than the shit that's being put out there. It's like it feels like they're trying to make it bad. Like, yeah. if this is the best they can do, then fire everybody. Really. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to make a joke. This is the best you can do, fire everybody.
And the thing is that they, like, Raw last night, the ratings came back, and 4-month low of ratings. And I know Vince says ratings don't matter and everything, but you at least have to like take some type of notice on that. You had a episode of Raw in which, I mean, for better or not, the return of the Shield was completely teased. Like, it's coming. We know we're getting it next week. And for not one of the 3 hours to top 3 million viewers is crazy. Not one of the 3 hours did over 3 million viewers. Like, that's terrible.
Topic the whole show. Wow. That's shocking.
Exactly.
Actually, it's not even shocking. It's just, I mean, you knew this was going to happen one day with how they're going, you know? So, I mean, shouldn't I be like alarmed? Vince should be panicking. Vince should be throwing the biggest fit of his life because of this.
Yeah, I mean, well, you knew ratings were going to go down with Monday Night Football. We knew that. So, I mean, of course, a lot of that drop has to be attributed to that. But you got SportsCenter that beat Raw last night and fucking Love and Hip Hop. Like, come on, man.
No. Well, I'll excuse that because that's like I don't watch it. And I don't know anybody that does, but apparently that show gets huge ratings.
Yeah, because Americans, and I went on a whole rant about it on The Awakened Soul, so I'm not going to revive that there. Go check that out over there, The Awakened Soul. You can search for it in iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and tune in. But nonetheless, it's a shameless plug for my side project. But yeah, the Raw last night was the lowest rating since June 13th. Like, that's deep, man. That has to be a deep cut. But, you know, that's another conversation for another day. And I just to bring that back to SmackDown, if Raw did that bad, I hate to see what SmackDown's rating is going to be tomorrow morning.
Wrestling's dying, and we're watching the Titanic fucking sink down. I'm just glad I'm not on board. I'm a fucking onlooker.
Oh, man. So we get a video package after the tag team match detailing Shane McMahon and Kevin Owens' feud. This was a much better video package than the world title video package. Another issue that I have with how the world title is being handled, but I digress. What did you think about this video package for Shane and KO?
I don't think I saw it. And if I did see it, it kind of just went past me. I'm not exactly sure what you're referring to.
Oh, well, fair enough. Moving on. And something that I wish I would have missed. You get Bobby Roode and Mike Kanellis. And I'm sorry, D-Will. You may have to sit back for a while. I don't know how long this rant's going to be. First of all, Mike Kanellis, not only did they shoot the man in the foot, in the back of the head, rape the corpse, then revive the corpse just to rape it a fucking again. Like, I get it. Maria's gone. She's out. She was the draw, or at least they looked at her like she was the draw. But you sign this guy. He has talent. He does have some charisma. He can be a solid mid-card heel. And he's off TV for what, the better part of a month after. I think he's only won one match since he's even come in this fucking company. And then you have him do a squash match against Bobby Roode, in which the match only lasts 55 seconds. Mike Kanellis is done. I'm sorry. If they can revive him, more power to him. But as it stands right now, I'm sorry. We're taking the loser and the bitch title off of Sami Zayn. The loser and the bitch, and not only wrestling, but in life, is Mike Kanellis right now. Go ahead, D-Will.
Well, shit. See, y'all coming in with the heat. I mean, this pregnancy, what terrible timing. Oh, my goodness. I know family first, but for the WWE careers, consider it dead and gone, you know, as far as I'm concerned. But I didn't mind the squash match to begin with, really, because, one, I'm not that high on Mike. And two, I mean, you got to have jobbers. I mean, I'd rather see him job than Luke Harper or Rowan or Dillinger. So,
well, how about this? I'd rather just fucking see Luke Harper. When's the last time we saw Luke Harper?
And he's working the house show, so I don't understand that at all. I don't know. I don't know. I can't answer that question, CEO. I just don't know. He's 6'8", athletic as fuck, believable. He should be in the world title picture.
The thing is that, okay, for everything that we shit on WWE, because they do a lot of bad writing, Braun fucking Strowman has been done so right. There is no reason, and I get it, Luke Harper isn't as imposing as Braun Strowman, but considering he's a little bit more mobile than Braun, and he's been in the company longer, Luke Harper could have had a singles run similar to Braun Strowman. They didn't do with Baron Corbin. Matter of fact, Baron fucking Corbin, Luke Harper should be in that spot. Luke Harper is such a better wrestler than Baron Corbin, has more charisma, can cut a better promo, has better fucking hair. Even though he's balding, at least it doesn't look like it's fucking stringy as shit, like someone sprayed it on with a can of fucking spray cheese. Like, why can this company get someone so right, in which we didn't even think Braun Strowman could be a singles competitor when he was, and a talent that's been in your company for 4-5 fucking years, and he's just not on TV? This is why I'm starting to get frustrated with WWE. It's shit like this. You sign Mike Kanellis, you don't do shit with him, fine. If you only see him as a jobber, okay, let him job out for the rest of his fucking career. We need a new fucking Kurt Hawkins on WWE TV. That's absolutely fine. But people like Baron Corbin, who just can't connect with the audience, I think Baron Corbin has a lot of fucking talent, but not the talent that Luke Harper has. Baron Corbin couldn't lace Luke Harper's boots if he fucking wanted to, and Luke Harper is not on TV. This shit is pissing me off. If you can't tell, it's Angry Hayes today, and I always try to come into the Blue Zone being positive. I want to review the show. I want to talk about the good and negative and not go off on rants, but it's shit like this with this fucking company that drives me up a goddamn wall.
You know what's really fucked up is that before the last time we saw him, he was getting over in that program with Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt.
They could have built a star off that program. Like, he was in there beating the shit out of both these guys. But go ahead, keep going.
No, I'm with you right there, 100%. I mean, the crowd was getting behind him. He was getting pretty good babyface reactions. I mean, I just don't understand. I just don't understand at all. I don't. Oh, they God. Must. Let's just, until we see, if we see him again, and he's just doing the same old thing he was doing before, like floating in the mid card, I'm just going to assume they have big plans for him. That's the only, it's only a lot of reason I can see that he's been off TV so long, that when he does come back, he's going to make a huge impact.
And that there's a very good chance WWE does do that. They'll take people off TV for a while if they're trying to figure out maybe a way to repackage him. They do stuff like that, keep him in dark matches so at least the fans there live get to see him. I don't know if he's been going on house shows or not, but they do stuff like that. So if he comes back in a month and he's a completely different character and it seems like they're at least giving him a try, I'll recant this rant right now. But as it stands right now, fuck you, WWE bookers, for how you're handling a talent like Luke Harper. I can give two fucks about Eric Rowan. I don't see it in Eric Rowan like I do Luke Harper. But goddamn, the man is so damn talented, man. It bothers me. But to get back on this match, after a 5-minute rant, Bobby Roode versus Mike Kanellis. This was a 55-second squash match, as to say. Bobby Roode hits the spine buster, the glorious DDT. That's it. Out comes Dolph Ziggler. Working on his entrance for Hell in a Cell. Go ahead.
This was bad. I've been trying to defend Ziggler and these antics they've been having him do for the past couple of weeks, and I just can't defend it. This week it was bad. It was just the drums, and then when it came out, he had a tambourine or something. Some sirens went off. It was inexcusable.
Yeah, and then the little promo he cut. I mean, I kind of like where they were going with it. Don't get me wrong. I get what he was saying. And, you know, we've talked about that before, about is Bobby Roode just an entrance, or worrying about them making him just the entrance, or about that. So him calling it out kind of adds some realism to it. But I don't know, just the way in which they get there and Dolph Ziggler's characterization, it's a version of this that can work. And I think that they teeter on that line of, okay, this is working, or okay, this is going to be complete shit. I just think that, again, the writing needs to get better for it. But I also don't think, more importantly, this does anything for Bobby Roode. Like him arguing with this idiot Dolph Ziggler and then doing the whole glorious thing and the person in the back hitting the music and the spotlight, like it was overproduced in my opinion. I think that you have Ziggler doing something which can be portrayed as realism, having him just talk about Roode just being an entrance, and then you just make a farce out of it by having Bobby Roode just be goofy. I would much rather see Bobby Roode punch Ziggler in the face, left him laying, and said, I'll see you at Hell in a Cell, and walking the fuck off. I think that would have done more for his character. Yes, it's not as glamorous or glorious, if you want to say, but I just think there's a lot to be said when you have some simplicity like that. But what do you think about it, D-Will?
What exactly am I thinking about?
Where the fuck did you go? Like, what just happened?
I've been here the whole time, but you're talking about something that I could care less about, Roode and Ziggler. First off, Roode made the match, and Ziggler accepted. And where was Daniel Bryan to make the match official? I just don't understand how Roode has the authority to just make his own matches. And this, I mean, who cares? Who cares? Who really cares? And yes, Roode is just an entrance. As of right now, he's just an entrance.
Yeah, and I mean, I think they've now, it when someone makes their debut, we just need to expect them to feud with Dolph Ziggler. Nakamura did it. I think Baron Corbin, even to go all the way back there, his first major feud was with Ziggler. Bobby Roode's right. Doing it now. So maybe Ziggler is just the gateway to get people used to the WWE style. Maybe that's his role in this company. I think he can fulfill that very well, but they just need to do more for his character. That's basically to just bring that all home. That's my thoughts there. But we get another awkward segment in which the Usos are out to read the New Day their rights, which just say they're out to discuss the new, like this whole read them their rights. They just kept drilling at home. This was nothing more, nothing special than what happens in pretty much every heel promo. Of course, the New Day comes out, because why would you not come out if they've advertised all damn show that some team's going to come out to read your fucking rights? The New Day do their whole stick. While I'm looking forward to the match, this is probably the match I'm looking forward to the most on this card, other than the KO and Shane. This promo, this segment just didn't do much for me. What were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, usually when the Usos speak, I mean, I listen because they're just so good. But this week, I don't know, it felt kind of short. And then the New Day, they're usually good when they speak. You sit down, you listen. But they were just, I don't know, it just didn't feel right. And this promo that these two teams had against each other just didn't seem Hell in a Cell-esque. I know the match is going to be amazing. It's going to be great. It's going to be brutal. It's going to be what we expect from these two teams. Yes, it's the most match. It's the match I'm most excited for too. But I mean, this promo just fell flat. For some reason, it just fell flat. Maybe it's because of how it ended with the New Day, with the crowd chanting "New Day rocks," and the Usos just kind of walking off slowly. I don't know. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't captivating.
That's a perfect way to cap that all up. I agree with you there. Speaking of captivating, are you captivated by the Fashion Files returning at Hell in a Cell? Or do you not, you could care less about this also?
Oh, I forgot all about, wasn't that supposed to happen this week?
Yes,
it was supposed to happen this week or last week.
They did. It was supposed to happen last week and this week. At least commentary addressed it this week. They did say that they were supposed to come back this week, but something happened and now they'll be returning at Hell in a Cell. So at least they addressed it. Rather how WWE tells us something's coming next week and then when it doesn't come, they just don't fucking mention it. But do you have any hopes for the Fashion Files making its return?
God, just pull the plug on it already. I'm glad that they mentioned it. Try to follow up some kind of story with it, but I mean, I don't know. Just let's bring some finality to this because I bet you, I guarantee they're still trying to figure out what exactly they want to do or what they're going to do. How long has this been going on, CEO? It's been going on for months, and I'm just completely over it. I was over it when it started because the segments to me weren't that good to begin with. I don't think we had a Fashion Files segment since JB has been on the show last. that's been a while. So I don't know. I'm just done with them. I'm just done with them. Forgot all about them, honestly. To make Tyler Breeze a single superstar, put him in the United States title picture.
Oh, man. You know I can get ranting on that. I've already ranted like 4 times, D. Will. Stop trying to get me to rant again because, yeah, Tyler Breeze is a fucking treasure. Like, honestly, the guy can do any type of character or act or whatever. There's a chance that Tyler Breeze is going to knock it out the park. And for anyone who doesn't remember, because he barely fucking wrestles nowadays, he's a pretty good wrestler on top of that. And he has a lot of charisma. And they just... fuck. I blame Summer Rae. The moment they strapped him with Summer Rae's ugly ass, it was just downhill from there.
That didn't last very long. Yeah, I forgot all about that. That didn't last very long either. They were supposed to be like the pretty people or whatever, and the only one of them was pretty, and it was Tyler Breeze. it's bad.
You know what I want to see? Did you watch the Mae Young Classic?
I watched the first 2 episodes where everybody was introduced, but I didn't see like the championship matches.
This is what I'm pitching now, and Andrew, I know you're gonna love this. Well, you may hate it or love it. I never know with Andrew specifically because he can go either way. But I'm pitching right now that Shayna Baszler is the China. She comes to SmackDown. She is Tyler Breeze's China as he separates from Fandango and goes on a mid-card reign. And Shayna Baszler is the one who comes in the ring, knocks the men out, and Tyler Breeze gets the pin. That's heat. That's character building. Shayna Baszler could do it because she's just a fucking beastly woman. And I'm not talking about her looks. I mean in the ring, but she's kind of beastly in the face too. But
don't try to downplay it.
But yeah, that's what I'm booking. That needs to happen. It'll never happen, but God, I hope it does. That would just be perfect. That would be so good right now to see something like that. Like, when's the last time we had a physical woman who won matches for a man? Yeah, has it been done since China?
Yeah, they could be the new Triple H in China. I love that idea because Tyler Breeze kind of looks like Triple H with that long blonde hair from back in the day. And yeah, I can see the resemblance between Shayna and China. So yeah, I really like that idea.
There you go. Bella, let me know what you think of that booking as the resident King Booker. We got to get a rematch between you and Bello too, since everyone else cowered at the chance to try to take that title away from Bello.
I'm glad you said that, CEO, because I got a perfect challenge idea. It's been burning in my head. Just been waiting for the right moment to strike, and I guess now's the perfect time. Okay, right now I'm throwing out the challenge to Bello. King Booker, instead of booking an entire card, because that takes a lot, from this moment, let's say from SummerSlam to WrestleMania, you book one person to headline the show that has never been a world champion, universal champion, or WWE champion. We got to build a storyline for this one specific individual. I pick for him. He picks for me. And we book it to WrestleMania.
Ooh, I like that idea. Bello, I know you're listening. You just heard that challenge. Do you accept? We want to hear it on Next Level tomorrow night. So challenge has been dropped. Let's see how that goes. Moving on. We get an announcement for Hell in a Cell, the kickoff match. And it's going to be Chad Gable, Shelton Benjamin versus the Hype Bros in the kickoff match for Hell in a Cell. I'm not watching it because I don't give a fuck. I just don't care. WWE has to do better before I add more time to watch a fucking kickoff show. Like I'm not walking watching pre-shows.
A little bit. They could have built this up a little bit because the Hype Bros 2 weeks ago, I remember they were saying we got to do something drastic. We got to do something to fix our losing streak. And last week they came out, had a match and lost, and we didn't really hear anything from them. I mean, a simple 30-second backstage promo, just cutting a promo on Gable and Benjamin, which, by the way, we didn't see any of these competitors tonight on the show. I mean, they just could have said something like, we're going to take away your pride, your dignity. We're just going to beat you. We're going to maul you. Something, anything. Anything. They did nothing.
Yeah. It's terrible. Like, this is just bad. It's just bad writing. That's the only thing you can categorize it as. It's just bad writing.
Terrible. Putrid. Horrible. Let's... Awful. Every negative word you can think of.
Oh, man. I don't even know how to rebound right now. Let's get into Baron Corbin versus Ty Dillinger. We get a Ty Dillinger signing tonight, D-Will. Ty is just another person. Another person with too much charisma, too good in the ring to kind of be where he is. I just hope that, you know, usually right now, I honestly think that we're kind of stuck where we are with everyone until after WrestleMania. Like, this is kind of the place to where if people don't start moving up the card soon, there's not going to be a chance that it's done until after the Mania season. So just be prepared for 6 months or so of Ty Dillinger just being booked in the mid-card or maybe not even on the show at all. But we get Ty Dillinger versus Baron Corbin. 6-minute match. I honestly think they were on their way to having a decent match, maybe even a well above decent match. But WWE had to do their WWE thing, and we get Baron Corbin losing on the cradle. 1-2-3. Ty Dillinger running off. Before we get into what happened after the match, what did you think about the match and the finish with Ty Dillinger going over?
Can I say, first of all, how dare they give Ty Dillinger the jobber entrance when that's half of his appeal? Like, really? They just come back from commercial and he's already in the ring. We missed the 10 spots. We missed his little dance. We missed that amazing theme song. That just makes me very, very upset. Anyway, so it's a small thing, but it was something I enjoy seeing. I enjoy seeing his entrance. Anyway, the match was okay. It was already serviceable for SmackDown. Why is Corbin losing? I don't understand. I don't even think, did AJ Styles even interfere or anything? Did his music play or something? Because nope, I just turned around and all of a sudden, Corbin's getting his shoulders counted down and just, all right, first Charlotte and now Corbin. I don't think Corbin's winning this belt. Do you?
No, I don't think he is. Now, I don't think he is, but I honestly wouldn't be surprised if he does. The fact they have him on this losing streak, there's going to be one or two things that happen. Either he's tired of losing, he's going to snap on AJ and win the match, or he's going to lose the match to AJ, and that's what's going to really send him over the edge. And then we're going to get Monster Baron Corbin running through the main card for quite a while or something along those lines. I think it's going to be either one of those two things. But keep going.
Yeah, the only reason why I'm somewhat changing my mind is because maybe they'll want to put AJ Styles in the main event picture instead. So maybe that's what they'd do to get the belt off him. Just give it to Corbin just because he's the next challenger, maybe. But I still think Styles is going to retain.
Yeah. You know, AJ Styles, there's no way Baron Corbin should go over on him, but, you know, they may do it. But, you know, after the match, as you already said, we get AJ Styles coming on the Titantron. He called Baron Corbin a jackass, and then he goes on to say that SmackDown Live is the house that he built, and you're not going to come in his house, basically, by trying to take shortcuts. He calls Baron Corbin out on everything that's happened to Corbin, the money in the bank cash and losing to John Cena at SummerSlam, not being able to win the U.S. title. He reads Corbin his rights, and I don't know why. Like, they keep they've always had people mention AJ Styles' hair. Why the fuck can't anyone take shots at Baron Corbin's hair? Like, that would be the first thing. If I'm in a promo war with Baron Corbin, the first thing I'm going to say is I can't trust a man who wears his hair like that in public. Like, right then, all credibility is lost for me.
Oh, shit. I don't know. Maybe he's sensitive about it, so they don't want to, like, roast him in public.
Fuck him. Fuck Baron Corbin. You don't have the wherewithal to fucking be disgusted or offended or sensitive about anything. Shut the fuck up, you goddamn fucking asshole. Nonetheless, I'm serious. The Hayes is tired of the bullshit. That may be the name of this episode. Hayes is tired of the bullshit and misery. How did you phrase it? You could care less, and misery could give a fuck. Like honestly, it's just, that right there. That'll get listens right there. We get, oh my god, and this is maybe where we offend our whole. Well, let me not throw you under the bus. Where I offend all our women listeners. Listen, breast cancer awareness is amazing. I think that we all should be aware. Not that we all aren't, but Dana fucking Warrior sucks ass. She looks like she's forced to be out there. I don't like the way she even uses Ultimate Warrior's name. I don't like the fact that they give these title belts to women who know nothing about fucking wrestling. If you want to have something for breast cancer, even if you want to have Dana Warrior be the spokesman of it, don't have them in a fucking wrestling ring with wrestling titles and they don't know what they mean. They have no idea to hold them, how to hold them. Why? Why fuck Dana Warrior. That's my thoughts right now. Like, I'm over it. Like, I'm so over the hokey shit. It's so fucking ridiculous. If you really want to do something for breast cancer awareness, you can do a lot better than having Dana fucking Warrior in a WWE ring with titles. Like, the woman knows shit. But go ahead, D. Will, your thoughts on the breast cancer awareness segment.
You know, that time could have been spent on the Fashion Files or getting Luke Harper and them over, or getting the hype bros over, building their match, another promo segment or video package about the world championship. This was the most pointless thing they could have ever done. Now, I get it, breast cancer is a big deal. Okay, but why are you extra, like, publicized? It feels disingenuous to me because they're extra publicizing it. Like, yay, we stand for breast cancer. Fight, fight, fight. Yay, yay, yay. Women, women, women. And it's just feels extra forced. Like you said, Dana out there, she looked awkward. So did the rest of the divas. They didn't look like they really wanted to be there. And that group hug at the end was just cringeworthy because they nobody knows who the other person is. They're all just there. And, you know, this was unnecessary. They didn't need to do it. They didn't have to do this.
This is like, there's people who listen to this is like, Hayes has went full get off my lawn crotchety old man, and I can give two shits. I don't care. Randy Orton, Aiden English. I rather enjoyed this segment. I enjoy Aiden English being Rusev's biggest fanboy. I don't know. It's something about it that I like about that. Still don't know why they had to take Lana away from him for that. But you know, he says that Orton ruined Rusev Day. And this match was 1 minute 22 seconds, end on an RKO. I like how he tossed Aiden English in the air first before he hit the RKO. But after the match, Rusev teases coming in the ring to fight Orton, but does not. What did you think about this segment?
Another jobber entrance, but I know, I guess it's Aiden English, so he deserves the jobber entrance. I only mention that because, have you heard Aiden English's theme song?
Does he have a theme song?
He's got a theme song, and you know what? It's really obscure, and it's really like, it's this opera lady singing his name over and over again, and it's really weird, but I really like it. I think it adds a lot to his character. They haven't played it like on SmackDown yet with him coming out to it, but they've played it after he's won the two matches that he's won. It's really interesting. I think you should check it out. I advise everybody go check that out after the podcast, but yeah, it's really interesting. I like it. I found myself playing it on repeat. But anyway, yeah, the match ended in a minute and a half, which it should have, because Randy Orton's going against the jobber. So, you know, the pairing of Aiden English and Rusev to me just seems really, really weird and maybe a little bit forced. But I guess they're at least they're giving something to Aiden English and they're doing something with Rusev. So I can't complain too much. He's getting television time.
Rusev versus Luke Harper would be a great match.
Ooh, just imagine those guys in like a street fight or something.
Oh man. Oh God. One can dream. Oh man. But okay, after this we get Sami Zayn, the former loser and a bitch of SmackDown, because now we have the loser and a bitch of life in Mike Kanellis, and Baron Corbin's closely behind him on that due to male pattern baldness. We get Sami Zayn talking to Shane. He warns Shane that Kevin Owens is snapped. He mentions how Sami himself was the best man at Kevin Owens' wedding, and look at what KO did to him. And Shane McMahon says that he will not be locked in a cell with Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens would be locked in a cell with him, which is just the most of cliched lines. God, I hated that line. But next we get Shane McMahon arriving to call out Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens does not come out. Shane talks some shit. He calls him a coward for disrespecting his children, attacking his father, and hiding behind Sami Zayn. Shane now makes the Hell in a Cell match Falls Count Anywhere.
Their Falls Count Anywhere anyway.
What? Jesus.
Does he not remember 2000, what was it, 2? Jericho and Triple H ended on top of the goddamn cell.
But we then get Kevin Owens arriving through the crowd. Shane tells him to come through the ring. Kevin Owens refuses, said he spent too much time in Denver, and Shane again calls him a coward. Shane then decides to take the fight to Owens and heads into the crowd. Owens attacks him from behind, and eventually Kevin Owens powerbombs Shane McMahon through a merch table. Kevin Owens is now back in the arena. Shane comes back out. I don't know what to say from all this. Eventually, Kevin Owens hits a fucking super kick. Shane hits his rabbit punches. But yeah, so we get Kevin Owens hitting a power bomb, standing tall to end SmackDown Live. What do you make of all this, D. Will?
You sound kind of down on it, CEO. You seem a little bit exasperated with this final segment, which, you know, this was the best part of the show. It's a shame we had to wait an hour and 45 minutes to get there. But I enjoyed their brawl at the fan area, whatever you want to call it. It was cool. It was nice to see him get powerbombed through the table. The only issue I had with it really is that when Kevin Owens went back to the ring and he knew Shane was going to come back out, but the way Shane came out, just, oh, I'm so hurt. How can I move? Well, you're going to go through so much worse at Hell in a Cell. Just stand the fuck up and go back to the ring. Like, if you're that hurt after going through what you just went through, then just concede Hell in a Cell right now, because you ain't going to survive it. And I like the beatdown of Shane. It was real cool. I'm pretty sure Kevin Owens is going to go over at Hell in a Cell, because I think Triple H is the plan for him at WrestleMania. It just makes sense. So, got to keep him looking strong. So, I didn't mind it, CEO. What about you?
I mean, I didn't mind it at all. And I mean, doing that rundown the way I did, this is why I don't run down matches, because just talking about everything, I kind of like it to flow naturally, but I wanted to get it all there out to get your reaction. I do think this was probably the best part of SmackDown. Like you said, it just sucks that literally an hour and 45 minutes. There were a few good things in the show. So let's see. It was an hour and 45 minutes before the segment. At least an hour and 30 minutes of that was just complete and utter bullshit. So, you know, out of a 2-hour show, we get roughly 30 minutes of quality. So there you go. That's a terrible fucking ratio. But I did enjoy this a lot. I enjoy Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon a lot. The fact of making it Falls Count Anywhere, I think that was just to remind the crowd, and that just televises that it's going to be some fucking crazy shit going on in this match, and it's not going to finish inside the ring or inside the cell. That just televised that. I'm sure we're going to get something weird, like Kevin Owens jumping off a fucking tractor trailer or something and hitting an elbow on Kevin Owens. They're showing their hand, basically. I wish they wouldn't have done that. But This is one of the best things in SmackDown. And you say, and I think, was it Andrew? Somebody else said to having Triple H be the ultimate person who gets the victory over Kevin Owens. And I kind of like that idea. Like, maybe this is what brings the McMahon family together. We haven't seen them all together in a while. Maybe this is what does it.
Kevin Owens would have to go over Triple H. Triple H can't go over Kevin. No, Kevin's got to get that rub.
I don't know, man.
Theo, let me ask you. How much? Because I have a theory. What's the likelihood that we get Kevin Owens one-on-one against Vince McMahon? Because I think it's highly likely. I'm thinking maybe the Royal Rumble.
I don't see it at this state. This stage that Vince gets in the ring and has an actual match. I personally don't see it. If I'm wrong, so be it. But yeah, I like the idea better of it being Triple H. I'm trying to think of what else or who else it can be. I just don't see Vince getting in the ring, man. Especially against Kevin Owens. Yeah. I just don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe, you know what? Vince McMahon is the person who crowned Drew McIntyre as the chosen one. Maybe he just says fuck it and brings back his chosen one to take out Kevin Owens. I doubt it, but I'm just spitballing at this point. I don't know. I don't know, man. I mean, let's get through this first stage first, and then we'll try to figure out how everything is gonna fall out. I still think there's a chance Shane may go over, to be honest with you.
The only reason I say that is because he hasn't won a match since he's come back. How many matches has he had? I know he fought Styles. He was in that 5-on-5 match. I think that may have been it. But still, Undertaker. He hasn't won since Undertaker. Yeah, he lost that match, so I guess he's due for a win. Maybe I just don't see it.
Yeah. We'll definitely see. But this was the go home show for Hell in a Cell. D. Will, I'm afraid to ask you this, but what's your excitement level for Hell in a Cell?
Simply because it's Hell in a Cell, which, by the way, I hate the concept of the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view because it forces a Hell in a Cell match and into a story where it doesn't necessarily belong. Like, as much as Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon are going at each other, they haven't even had a one-on-one match yet. So I don't think they're quite ready for the stage of Hell in a Cell. If anything, the Usos' New Day, that feud should be Hell in a Cell because it's just been going on for so long, and they just need to finally wrap it up. Hell in a Cell, in my opinion, the way I grew up watching wrestling, was the end-all, be-all to a feud. So that's how I think it should be. So, I mean, considering in the era that we're in, we're not going to get any blood or anything. I mean, I guess I'm a little more excited than I guess I would be for just a regular pay-per-view. So I'll say 8.
Okay. That's way higher than I was thinking. My personal excitement level is probably like a 7. Like you said, the fact that it's Hell in a Cell, I think we're going to get pretty good matches on the card. I mean, I think that Usos and New Day is going to be a great match. I have high hopes for Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon. I think that AJ Styles and Baron Corbin is going to be a pretty good match as well. Charlotte's on that card, and she never disappoints on a pay-per-view. So, I mean, just looking at the talent that's going to be on this card, it would lean you to believe that, yeah, it's going to be a pretty good pay-per-view. So I have high hopes. I just wish it was a better build to it. But I mean, this has been the Blue Zone, D. Well, let's get into our closing thoughts. I'm pretty sure you may have a song lyric of the day or something crazy planned for us, but go ahead and get into your closing thoughts and then tell the people where they can find you.
I do. It's the return of everybody's favorite segment, the song lyric of the week. That is the song lyric of the week. Okay. You ready, CEO?
I'm ready.
All right, this week we have Rake It Up by Yo Gotti featuring Nicki Minaj. That's Rake It Up by Yo Gotti featuring Nicki Minaj. Okay. Brought out the pink Lamborghini just to race with China. Brought the Wraith to China just to race in China. Lil bad trendy bitch, but she mixed with China. Real thick vagina. Smuggle bricks to China. You can find me on all social media platforms at Misery Williams, MiseryWillams. That's me, CEO. Where you at?
I am CEO Hayes. I have no closing thoughts because I think I got out everything on this podcast as far as my rants and where I am with this WWE product. But again, you can follow me at CEO Hayes. More importantly, you can follow the Wrestling World Podcast Network at TheWWPN on Twitter. Go to TheWWPN.com for all our lovely content, podcasts, and to interact with our host. We also are YouTube.com/TheWWPN to see our videos. Bella's posted quite a few funny videos in the last couple of weeks there, so check that out there. More importantly, I want to take some time out to thank Fane Black, who made his return to the Red Zone, stepped in my place last night. He did some much overdue rest. Fane Black stepped in. They delivered a great Red Zone last night, so I want to give a shout out to those boys there. This has been the Blue Zone, presented by It Is What It Is Studios. For Misery Williams, I am CEO Hayes, and we are out.
Brought out the pink Lamborghini just to race with China. Brought the race to China, just to race in China. Little bad Trini bitch, but she mixed with China. Real thick vagina, smuggle bricks to China. I tell all my niggas,